Well, welcome everybody. It's overtime here on our beloved YouTube. Welcome everybody. I made it, I think. Kyle, you made it as well. There you are.
Oh yeah, I am a made person.
And we have Rob over there and Gila on Skype land.
We made it.
Okay, good. I'm going to continue trying to get Alex because, you know what, we're not on the radio anymore. It doesn't matter if we sound like crap. It's also a technical challenge. You know, he's on an airplane. Yeah, he's flying over the middle of the country. We should be able to talk to him. All right? That's just my personal feeling here. Now, I'm trying to connect to him via Signal, but here's the thing. I have Signal on this laptop in front of me, and it just announced that it's expired. Signal annoys me almost every day. They either keep wanting me to do things to prove I'm me, or they just have these ridiculous things you have to jump through. Okay, so this version of Signal Desktop has expired. Please upgrade to the latest version to continue messaging. So I can't even message. If I type something, I get an error message saying this version has expired. Please upgrade to continue messaging. So I can't even talk to him. So now I'm going to try to upgrade, except it's not a question of just clicking on something. I have to go to a website and re-download it. So I'm going to try that. Hopefully that doesn't mess up our connection. I'm now downloading it. Isn't this exciting? Over the air software upgrades. Okay, it downloaded. Didn't tell me anything, so I guess I have to find it. All right, there it is in the folder. I will double-click on it now.
And he's Kyle, double-clicking on it.
Kyle's reading a book. Okay, it's installing. Signal is running. Click OK to close it. Okay. Sorry about that. I shouldn't have been running it while I tried to upgrade it. Again, this is just to try and make a call. What you reading there, Kyle?
The Jungle.
That's an original copy you have there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a first or second edition.
Wow.
I just started it. Uh-huh. My reading list got a little stale, so...
Okay.
Some fresh meat on the pile.
Wow, could it be this easy? I think Signal just started working. Okay, great. It works. So now I'm going to type a message to Alex. It just went through. And if he responds, I'll try calling him, and then we can maybe bring him up on this channel over here. That's how you solve problems. All right? What else is going on with you guys, Rob and Gila?
Well, I was going to say that I did spend the break between the show and overtime looking for our Ouija board so that I could offer my continuous apologies to the ghost of Steve Jobs after, you know, apparently I have not apologized enough after having impugned the Apple Corporation. So I did want to apologize to Steve Jobs and just trying to get the tech together to make that happen.
I think you must visit the ring. You must go to California. You must find your. You must go to the ring.
Just prostrate myself in Cupertino.
I don't know. Make some kind of offering to it, or place something, you know, near the address sign where it says no deliveries or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I may need to take my CD collection and just offer it up and see what happens.
Just place your CDs in a box and say, "I own these, right?" Or "I want. Can I own?"
If I give you these, can I get them on iTunes, please?
Oh, for God's sake, I had a bit of a setback here. I tried to link my Signal to my mobile device, and now I've got to scan a QR code within the Signal app. So hang on, I got to go into settings now. Let's see, and then tap link devices. Okay, you know, conversation settings. That's what you must mean, right? They tell you certain things exist in menus, and they don't actually exist. I'm in the settings menu. I don't see linked devices anywhere, so I can't do what they're telling me to do. It's not possible.
If you'd like to contact us later in the show, the overtime show, our number is 1-888-321-HACK. Is that right? Is that right?
Yes, I believe. Oh, I was in the wrong menu.
802-321-HACK.
You know what? There's a different settings menu when I'm in Alex's window as opposed to when I'm in the window. Okay, link devices. Here it is. And then how do I link device to my...
I'm still wondering what we're talking to Alex about.
I don't know.
I mean, why are we obsessed? I mean, he... I just don't want to...
Because he's our friend.
Okay, all right.
He's our pal, and over time is the hangout, and we would like to hang out with our pal.
Oh, okay. No. I mean, I'm not trying to take wind out of sails or anything. I'm the guy with the spinnaker here. Let's go with it. Let's just sail away.
Okay, I've linked the device successfully. It's been approved by Signal, and now I think I can actually talk to Alex on this device as well. Hang on a second, and yeah. But he has to answer. That's the other part of all this. We'll see if he does. You can call us, as Kyle said, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK is our telephone number.
We want to talk to you, too. We don't just talk about talking to Alex. We want to talk to everyone. Uh-huh. And you're welcome to call us and join the conversation. Give us suggestions. Tell us about stories. Ask us questions. And or make some other interesting point that we will say, aha, I see what you're saying.
Uh-huh. You can even reach us for free, for no tolls, if that matters to your particular telephonic situation. If you're within the United States, you can call us at 1-833-755-2600, and that is a toll-free version of our overtime phone number. Thanks to our pal Lucky for wrangling that.
And if you want to take the opportunity to call us again, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK, and share your wishes for a happy zero cool day. Is that a thing? Is that a thing about?
It is indeed. It is indeed zero cool day. Because on August 10th, 1988, the front page of the New York Times said that Zero Cool had crashed 1,507 systems in one day, biggest crash in history. And, hilarity ensued from there.
Okay, I've got some stories here while we wait for phone calls to come in. This is in the balls department. every so often somebody does something that requires a lot of balls. In Mumbai, scamsters use the police commissioner's photo to hack phones. they did that. Sadanan Dot, I believe, is the guy's name. Scamsters had used the photograph of the Mumbai police commissioner and cheated several people, but now they're using the picture of the mirror Bayandar Vasai. Okay, when's it going to end? Virar, MBVV, police commissioner, Sadanan Dot. Okay, still a different police commissioner, to target citizens in that area. The police said the accused is posing as CP Dot and offering gift vouchers at cheapest rates. So if you get a message like that, view it with skepticism. According to the police officials, hundreds of citizens from Mira Road to Virar residence received WhatsApp messages from the name of CP Sadanan Dot on Friday. The scamsters also used Dot's photo as their WhatsApp profile picture. When a police official also received the message, he informed CP Dot, who immediately alerted the citizens. The scamsters chat with the citizens and ask them to download a software which will end up hacking your mobile system, a police officer explained. And if you need a police officer to explain this kind of thing to you, you're definitely barking up the wrong tree. So the police are in search of those accused. And that's what's going on over there. Sounds like fun for everybody. And what do we have here? Phoenix highway hacker strikes again. Oh, wow. This is anti-Putin message. The second time in 24 hours... An electronic roadside message board was hacked to display a profane message to motorists driving by. This time, the message condemns Russian President Vladimir Putin, who declared war on Ukraine this morning? Wait a minute. What the hell are you giving me? This is from February. This is a story from February. You know what this is? This came. We have a service called Google Alerts, News Alerts. And they send us stories with the word hacker or hack in it, and that's what That's
Google
what
just keeps spelling us left and right today, well, doesn't it?
Yeah, what's going on here? This is crazy.
Those kinds of messages have, I think, just driving around have been more prevalent than any other. I mean, there's been a lot of issues and global tumult and things like that in the world, but this,
I agree.
This is something that's been on. I've seen more tagging and just really like errant graffiti and statements places on this particular topic than a lot of other issues that you would think would seep into street art and just vandalism.
Are you covering for Google? Because this is right here in front of us. A huge bit of evidence of how they are screwing things up. They just sent this as a late-breaking story. In fact, they sent another story after that that I almost read as well. Russia state-owned news site TASS hacked with Putin makes us lie message. That was also from February. I don't understand what's going on here.
I feel like we covered that.
Yeah, we did. Google Alerts is sending out old stories as news stories. In fact, looking at a listing of some of the Google alerts that we've gotten in recent days. Are you ready for this one? Trump asks Russia to hack Hillary's missing emails. Yeah, that just came across a couple of days ago and made it into the off-the-hook pile of stories to look into. And also, somehow, this I've noticed independently, the word hack is being used in a much more liberal way so that we're getting a whole lot more stories than we usually get, including this one here. Annoying jokes trigger father to hack son-in-law. Yeah, a 41-year-old farmer was injured after he was hacked by his father-in-law, who was reportedly annoyed by his joke. Okay, obviously that's use of a word in a different connotation. He hacked him, I guess, with an axe or something like that. Don't really need those kind of stories, Google. That's not what I'm after. Here's another one. Mother reveals hack for keeping her paddling pool warm. Yeah, Dee Dee shared the paddling pool hack on her page, demonstrating how she uses a lazy spa hot tub heater attached to a filter system to keep it warm. You know what? If you want more information on that, read the next 2600. We'll have an expose. How about this? Walking and one healthy eating hack helped her lose 25 pounds after binge eating struggle. TikTok star Shelby Sacco lost 25 pounds by walking and keeping 60 to 80% of her meals healthy. She does meal prepping and eats protein, veggies. Oh, boy. And one. No, you know what? That's enough. I'm done. What's going on here? It was a simple thing. Google sent us stories about hackers and hacking, and now they're sending us old stories and things that have nothing to do with hacking, just using the word in different ways. It's like they're trying to annoy us.
Well, yeah. I mean, Google, YouTube, it's all interconnected, right? I think Google doesn't like you.
Yeah, I'm getting that. I'm getting that.
Also, are we getting articles about, like, the movie Hacksaw Ridge? Or, I actually kind of wanted to hear what the tip was for keeping your paddling pool warm, because I was afraid it involved, organic methods, and I'm glad to hear that it doesn't.
Oh.
Well, you know, just checking. I don't know.
Maybe this is a may contain hackers problem with Google. It's
maybe
it's expanded the search in your service there.
But it almost certainly does not contain hackers. These stories are a complete waste of time. Hey, have we gotten any phone calls? I know I've been talking a lot. 802-321-4225.
Yeah, aside from me getting the number wrong.
Wrong number? What number did you give out?
I thought 888, but it's a 833-321-HACK, as Rob corrected so rightly earlier. But we're accepting calls. We're taking calls.
Is there something wrong with our YouTube channel? Because the numbers are way down. I don't know why. Maybe because we weren't on last week, or is something technically wrong? Rob, can you confirm that we are on?
We are on. Okay. I think the volume may be a little low, but... We are on.
That
we
again?
Are hearable. Oh, we are understandable.
For God's sake. Okay, let's fix the volume, Kyle. Every week. You know, you guys can talk while we're fixing the volume.
Well, we could, but watching is fascinating.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Then we can't
see
the volume.
Can't see this,
we can't adjust the volume. Okay. There is no volume.
But in any case, there was a tweet that went by this morning that I've been thinking about a lot, where somebody was saying that because they made a funny face while setting the Face ID on their iPhone, this is another Apple thing, so maybe you can contribute to this, Gila, with your experience. But somebody was saying they made a funny face while setting the Face ID on their iPhone, which meant that they can't unlock their phone now without making the same funny face again. And I was wondering if this might be a valid defense against having somebody use your face without your consent to unlock your phone. Like if you were making some kind of ridiculous, stupid face, they can't force you to make that face.
They cannot force you to make that face. It's also interesting, I think, experimenting with the parameters of how Face ID works. As an example, if I'm going to work in the morning and need to unlock my phone to get at something, but I'm wearing a mask and sunglasses. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Face ID can unlock it, sometimes it can't. And one thing I'm very much looking forward to is trying to see if my mom's face can unlock my Face ID, because we look so similar.
Uh-huh. Well, that would definitely start some family discussions around the table.
Face ID, we also sound very similar. So we've often wondered if we could trick some of those voice ID systems.
You know what I think would be a good idea? And this would serve several purposes. Like sort of a DNA type of reading, you spit on your phone, okay? And it recognizes the content. And you get some aggression out, too. Of course, it's kind of disgusting. But maybe there's an app to, like, make sure it's clean.
Do you have to spit or can you just lick it?
It degrades from there, that's for sure. Okay, so I was about to try something with the phone, Kyle. Do we have a call, or that was just an errant ring? Okay, I'm going to try calling Alex.
A telemarketer.
we get those. Let's see. For calling, you must allow Signal Desktop to access your microphone. Okay, that sounds reasonable. I'm allowing access, and now we're calling Alex. Start call. Oh, isn't that pleasant? So we might hear Alex put an end to this. Boy, it's annoying now. Can you imagine the whole plane is hearing this? Well, I'll just turn it down and we'll see if he ever answers.
I don't know. I think it's kind of a jam.
Do you think it times out? It must time out, right? Like regular phone calls do. Oh, it did. Okay. Well, he's not picking up. Okay, again, our phone number 802-321-4225. If you're out there, boy, we're having trouble with communications tonight, aren't we? It's one of those shows. Did you go to the meeting last week?
I did. It was a fun gathering. I had some very good pizza, and caught up with some people that I hadn't seen in a while.
I almost went, but then I didn't.
See, that's the problem. Almost going is, was a good start, but then you didn't, and that, like, spoiled the whole thing.
It did, but what are you going to do? That's how it goes sometimes.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
It certainly is.
But, it's a quality gathering. Happens once a month. We have not been having any significant interest shown in our virtual meetings for a long time now. There's only one or two people who show up, and so that's kind of, I think, taking the joy out of that. So we might not keep hosting those virtual meetings if no one's going to use them, but the physical meetings are back in full effect. People were respecting the in general people's mask preferences, distancing preferences, whatever, and it was a lot of fun. And I got to ask a bunch of people about their hope experiences, having not had any of my own. So, it was a way to start catching up before you put the videos up.
I had a dream. I was in the Hotel Pennsylvania last night. I just remembered this. I had a dream. And it was weird because it was half torn down. And the half that wasn't torn down was very busy. There were a lot of people doing all kinds of things. Offices were open. But then you could see, like, just past where the offices were, it's a sheer drop into into just this pit where they were tearing it down and doing God knows what. I haven't been there. I haven't seen exactly what it looks like right now. I it's going to be depressing when I do go over there. But that place will always hold a space in my heart, and so many other people that were a part of Hope conferences in the past, and so many other things over the century it was up.
It does. It holds a spot in my heart. I don't know what stage of the demolition they're at right now, but I think when it's feasible, I want to see if I can ask someone to maybe someone who's working on it to maybe pass me a brick or something as a memento.
I thought they heaved through a window of one of the people tearing it down.
We have a phone call.
We do have a phone call. Okay, let's figure out how to do that again. It's been such a long time. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Good evening, Emmanuel. Hi, gang.
Hey, what's up?
Right now, I'd say that your YouTube levels are fine, by the way.
Thank you. It's good to hear that.
I wanted to say that I have already purchased my Hope stick, so I'm on one of the lists. This is Tim in Connecticut, by the way.
Cool. Hope stick. That's a good thing to call it. We're talking about the flash drive that has all the talks on it. And for the first time, it's a 256 gig stick. The biggest one we've ever had.
It's impossible to see all the talks, so all the ones that I had to give up to go to another one, I want on that stick.
Yeah, yeah. And not only that, you'll get audio as well in case you're driving and you just want to hear the audio.
Exactly.
So what do you think of the conference?
Honestly, if anybody has checked the pricing, I honestly think that that's pretty good, especially if you price out the how much a 256 gig flash drive is.
Yeah, because you get that in the end. If you copy all the files off of it, then you have a 256 gig flash drive. You can do anything.
Plus wrong. All the work that was done and the recording and, my God, the labor alone.
Oh, the last week alone was insane. Kyle and I were just up all night, almost every day, dealing with all kinds of monotonous tasks, but getting it done right.
We're both joining unions, actually several unions each.
We should. We're owed. So tell me, what did you think of the conference?
Oh, well, you know, I liked it. The campus was great. Like I said, the last time I called in, I asked if St. John's had any downs, any problems with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything I've heard, they were thrilled. They said, the security people said we were the best tenants they ever had. I'm not sure how true that was, but it was nice to hear.
But that's, you wouldn't expect that from us.
Well, I mean, you know.
I mean, you know, hotels, from a hacking group, who would say that?
We can behave. Yeah, hotels bring out the worst in people, I think.
Yeah, and their security, they might not have been so complimentary, although we had a decent rapport with them over
the
years.
They were awesome. They were so cool.
We became pretty familiar.
And nice, and it was a pleasure having them around. It really was. And I don't say that often of security people.
And we made a really good effort and reiterated it over and over again, reminding ourselves, at least, but as our volunteers, to just... Let's make a good impression. Let's make this a fun event, one that we can be proud of and learn from and, you know, take away what works for maybe coming back. And hopefully we're invited back. I think
Absolutely. That
we went along. We made a couple good steps toward that.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of credit goes to our attendees just for being themselves, being, you know, the cool people they are. Dealing with all the challenges and issues that are inevitable in situations like this and making sure that there is no negativity. There certainly were, you know, avenues where we could have become negative. And every time something like that happened, people, you know, logic stepped in or just common sense. And we were able to make things work out really well, I think.
You know, as far as using the word hack, I think that's being used for almost anything. You know, I opened up my soda can by putting it on the corner of the counter and slammed it down. There's my soda hack.
But somebody changed something at Google where they just use that now for any, like, food tip or gardening hint. Now they're all called hacks, and we just get deluged now with all this garbage that has nothing to do with computer hacking that we have to, eliminate to get to the stories that actually do, and the ones that aren't years old.
It's like diluted the meaning because of like a genre of clickbait or something.
That's what it is, clickbait, absolutely. I don't know that much about Google
Alerts. In a couple of my news aggregators, I've had old headlines pop up because some reporter or somebody else corrected a spelling.
Really? Is that what it
caused? And it became a new article?
Oh, my God. That's so terrible. That's
I've
really
seen
terrible.
That pop up.
Look, I'm old school.
Because I occasionally find something and I want to send it on to a colleague, and the last thing you want to do is go, oh, yeah, this happened 5 months ago.
Yeah, how often does that happen?
Okay.
There are news stories that don't even have dates on them. You have to, or they're really tiny or hidden in a weird place. You know, what I believe, I'm old school on this. If an article is written, it's written. You can't go back and correct something. Yeah, you can post an addendum later. You can say things like that, but you can't go back and change the wording, change the facts. No, when it's published, it's published. And that's something that I think very few people have an understanding of these days. You know, this Twitter world where you basically, okay, I didn't say that because I was controversial, so I'm going to say this instead. It's not right.
Yeah, especially with something that is a published, edited, complete work.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we can do it because of the distribution or some, you know, unique change in the way we're consuming the media doesn't mean you should.
It's unethical, I think, in a lot of ways. In a printed magazine like we have, you can't do it. It's impossible. It's
right.
impossible.
Well, right, but
you should treat other publications, you know, electronic ones, the same way, because the mentality behind it should be the same. That when this is printed, when this story is done,
you can delete your tweet. You never said it.
If I say something stupid on Twitter, then it should live on, you know, as proof that I'm an idiot or that I once was an idiot.
Or human.
Or human, yes, exactly. And, you know, it's... All this refining—it's Orwellian. It is exactly the memory hole is what we were warned about. This is what we're living in.
Other things that I hate is when you get a news article and they neglect to say what state it is in.
Oh,
like,
God!
You can't use a city name twice.
Yeah, this happened in Springfield. Every damn state
right.
has Springfield. Yeah. Well, they make reference to things like, you know, the bull in the middle of the street or something, a statue, and you're supposed to know what that is.
Yeah, down by Joe's Barbershop.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's terrible. It's absolutely awful. But, you know, it's inevitable, too, because we're reading all these papers from all around the country that we never would read before. We'd read our local papers, and they haven't
right.
adjusted. They haven't adjusted to an audience beyond their local audience. And the other thing that's crazy...
Right, because they think that that's what they serve.
And if you use an aggregator like Google News, it used to be useful, where you could click on something and read a story, but now you click on something, pay me for the right to read the story. You know, if you subscribe to 1,000 different newspapers, you're still going to get hit with that because every single newspaper wants you to pay for the access. And that's just not logical. You shouldn't have to do that.
Well, I find that when I hit a paywall, I can normally Google the text,
mm-hmm.
and using Google as the verb, Google the text and find it from a different source.
Yes, because oftentimes it's just an AP feed or something like that. But mm-hmm. it's not an efficient way of doing things. It's not the way it's...
No.
The system, you know, if something is online, it should be just available to read. If it's in an aggregator, that should mean that you can click on it and read it. And if there's going to be a paywall, it shouldn't be in the aggregator. Or it should be in a different aggregator that requires you to pay for use of that. It's mm-hmm. It's one of my buttons.
Yeah, of course, because if it goes to the point where that gets popular, everybody wants to get paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not saying they shouldn't get paid. It's just this is not the way to do it, you know?
Right.
And maybe there's...
But if you find out that, other people are getting paid for what they do, well... Mm-hmm.
But maybe there's a solution where you pay a certain fee to some entity someplace, and you get access to all these newspapers or all the newspapers in this particular state or something.
Just, you know, all you had to do was pay for your internet connection.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that used to be enough. Any other thoughts?
No. I just wanted to check in, so I'll get off and let everybody else chime in.
Well, thanks for calling. Thanks for attending, and thanks for the support.
Have a great night, guys.
Take care.
Gals.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right. Nice call.
Very nice.
Always good to hear from attendees that got something out of it. And, you know, we're getting a lot of feedback, a lot of people with suggestions and ideas and critiques. Yes, we definitely want to hear critiques as well. Well, some of the main critiques were it's too hot outside, and we hear that, but there's not much we could have done about that. Another is the location is different. Actually, I think more people liked that than didn't like that. But the people who didn't like that weren't familiar enough with the area to know where to go to get food and things like that. And that's something we can do more for, you know, if we do it again at that location.
We're not familiar enough. We're still learning.
We were finding places every day. It's a challenge. And we knew it was going to be a challenge the first time. We have another call? Okay, let's take this one. Good evening. You're on Off the Cover Time.
Yes, Yeah, hi, good evening. I heard your comments earlier. You were saying that the videos of all the talks had been uploaded. So I just had a quick follow-up. Mm-hmm. I presume that that does not include any of the workshops. Is that right?
I don't believe workshops were recorded.
Okay. Yeah, that's a bummer because I had a personal emergency during the conference, and I was unable to actually physically attend any of the workshops. I missed all of that.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, too. And I checked your wiki page, and I don't see links to any presentations from any of the workshops. All I see is a message that they would be posted at some point, but as of now, I see no... No links to any like PDFs or PowerPoint presentations. Do you know if any of the workshop presenters were going to put up something at some point?
If there is a specific talk that had slides in particular that you that you may have missed, and they do post them, the wiki is the first place I think that you would find them. But definitely feedback that address if you're inquiring about a specific talk or workshop. In this case, they can maybe get back to you and find out what materials may or may not be around from that talk. But as you can imagine, there were three tracks going at once, plus unscheduled stuff going on. So a lot of activity made it hard to, get stuff directly from people after their talk.
Feedback@hope.net is the email address. Write to that, and it'll get to the people that ran the workshops. And if there is anything that you can be connected to, they will do that. I guarantee that.
And it may be that someone at the workshop independently asked permission and made some kind of recording, maybe of a specific how-to or a part of it that was more hands-on that may have been covered informally.
Yeah, but we only have so many cameras.
I understand. Feedback@hope.net. You said that's yes. Where I should contact.
Yeah, just ask about that. Explain the situation. Rob, I think you had something to add.
Yeah, I think another good idea might be to, if you're looking at the workshops page, see the names of the individuals who were giving the workshops you wanted. And a lot of times what you can do is find that person's social media with a little searching or other ways to contact them and maybe ask them if they're giving their workshop somewhere else or if they have like their own YouTube channel or something like that where they talk about the subject or if they've put their presentations up anywhere.
Yeah,
because a lot of people do this on their own.
A couple of workshops were virtual too, so that tells me that maybe there already is something available.
Okay, I'll investigate that. Well, thanks for the advice.
Sure.
And I would just suggest, I mean, the conference is great. Maybe before the next one, if you could maybe broadcast on your show, just encourage people to, if the presenter doesn't object, encourage people to record the thing or post their presentation online because, as you said, everybody's resources are limited and mm-hmm. not everybody can be at every talk. You know, we can only be in one place at one time,
right,
obviously,
exactly.
or uh-huh. logged into one screen. So, you know, if you could try to foster before the next conference, just encourage attendees to do that for the benefit of their fellow attendees that can't get to something so that, you know, they can hopefully get some of that information.
Yeah, that's a great idea, great suggestion. And, you know, in 2020, it was all virtual, so everything was recorded, including workshops. But
right.
we were just so caught up in making the first in-person conference in a while. This is something I think we could have done better with, and hopefully there is an answer or two.
Yeah, and
okay.
I think a larger request I think that we're taking away is that if we do this again in so many years and put it together with more attendees possibly in the future, it's going to take more volunteers. We need more help.
Yeah.
We need people on site that have expertise. We need more people to fill in roles to be able to be there in advance. Especially in advance of the event, if you can't be on site, or vice versa, if you can't help in advance, we definitely need people on site because that's how this stuff happens. That's how it gets put together, formally or informally. We had a lot of challenges, as we've said over and over again. We create the space, we get it in there, we get as much of what it takes to capture, but
beyond that, this is powered by the community, and very much, you know, your critiques, all of the critiques out there are our own, of course. We feel and understand where people are coming from. And our failings, I think, are a litmus for the overall health of what people are capable of in this moment in history, mm-hmm. and for what all has been going on. And, you know, to us, it's neither good nor bad. It just, it is how it occurred, and we did our best to make sure that it was preserved. And so we hope what we got is at least enough to carry us on to the next one.
And we have so many good people helping us this time to make things possible that otherwise would have been completely impossible. So everything that succeeded was a result of a volunteer and somewhere.
Please, everyone.
That was the only weak link. Yeah, that was the only, my only critique was about the workshops. I mean, about mm-hmm. it not being able to be recorded. But hopefully, like you said, in the future, you'll have more resources or more people willing to volunteer to fill that gap or something.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and there might be some available, you know, for this year as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and the campus was great. I grew up in Queens, but I'd never been on the campus of St. John's.
Same
really
here.
Nice campus.
I grew up in Queens, too, and yeah. didn't know about St. John's. How about that?
Yeah, really nice campus, and there are other nice college campuses in New York as well, of course. So hopefully, if St. John's isn't available, you'd be able to go to another one. But if they'll welcome you back, that would be great to go back there again.
All right. Well, we certainly would like to. It seemed like a very positive place. But thanks so much for your thoughts.
Thank you.
Take care.
Have a good one. Take care.
Bye. Yeah, you know, it's I said it before, and I still mean it. There's something magical about being in New York City and being able to be outside at night looking at the stars, you know, and just you feel like you're in the country, but you're right in the city. That's the magic of Queens. You know, it's one of the most diverse places in the world. It's so close to everything, but there are also these little magical places.
I had to stop myself in many instances over that weekend, just taking it in, realizing that this was actually what hope was mm-hmm. For us now, and it was very different. I would I think even joke. At different points about, oh, you know what we would be doing right now if we were back here, you know, dropping off there and picking up in the middle of a rainstorm.
Oh my God, yeah.
Parking tickets. And I had a lot of more tranquil moments to myself and just to take it in this sort of transformed iteration of hope. So it was very new. And I hope other people felt that was positive as well. I thought it was good to be able to reflect.
Okay, Alex just asked me to call him, but now he's on Skype, so I don't know which I'm supposed to do. Alex, are you there on the airplane? You sound terrible. I can barely hear you. Yeah, that's awful. But can I call you on Signal? Did anybody hear what he said? Were you able to make that out? No one's saying anything. Did anybody hear what he said?
He said.
I think he said sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Well, let's call. I swear this 21st century is not working out.
It's jaunty.
I don't like jaunty.
I like it.
We'll check in a half hour.
Also, I think I realized all we need to do is get Alex to take to do the show on a boat, and then I think we've got all the modes of transportation covered.
They all sound like crap.
Because he's been in a car, and he's been on a train, and now he's been on a plane.
Wait, now he's calling me. Hang on. Okay, so I'll pick up. Apparently, Alex, are you there? I don't know if he can. Okay, I'm not sure if he's there at all. Alex, are you there? Am I supposed to hit something on this? No.
Wait, now he's back on the Skype.
Now he's on both at once.
Whoa.
Okay, I don't know what we're supposed to do here.
We wait for one of the myriad Alexes.
Yeah.
833-321-HACK. You can also talk to us about whatever is on
your mind. Think that's the right number. Again,
it's 802-321-HACK.
Oh, yeah. What?
You mix the two numbers together.
It's okay. It's okay. 802-321-HACK, 833-755-2600.
That one.
Yeah.
Which I thought was 888, because 833, I mean, come on, that's kind of 888. It's just missing some stuff. If you're, you know, kind of visual like I am.
You know, a signal says I'm connected to him, but it's not coming up. Or
yeah, clearly.
Is my volume up? Yeah, my volume's up. Everything should be working. So I don't get it.
Well, whether you out there are Alex or not, give us a call at 802-321-4225 or 833-755-2600 and let us know what's on your mind.
Mm-hmm. Pure energy.
I'm hanging up, Alex, because I'm not really connected to you. I'm leaving the call. That's because you can't hang up. You can only leave the call. I'll try calling one more time, but that's it. It's getting a little tiresome.
This reminds me of when we used to do the show with a music bed going through the whole thing sometimes.
Yeah, we do that occasionally still, but only on special occasions.
You know what it reminds me of are, like, the little, like, LCD keyboards.
Oh, wait. I think I have him. Alex, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, wow, he's there. How about that? You're very low again, but you sound a little better.
All right, yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, we can work with this.
As loud as I possibly can, I guess.
Well, you still sound low, but you sound better. How about that? So tell us where you are and what's been going on the plane since we left you last.
Not very much. It's hot. It's full of people going to DEF CON, I think. And, you know, there's really not much else going on. I'm just sweating it out up here at 30,000 feet on the way to Las Vegas. And, yeah. I missed, doing the show with you guys tonight. I hope it was a good one for the rest of it.
You know, Alex, I can't help but wonder why you always travel on Wednesdays. It seems like you schedule your travel for during Off the Hook.
I know. Yeah, it's just the luck of the draw, I have to say. I mean, I'm often traveling, and, you know, it just falls on a Wednesday. I guess it's like, you know, it's a good day for business-related travel because it's the middle of the week, and you get back Friday, get your stuff done, and I'm on a flight, so, yeah, and by the way, I'll only be over in Vegas for 2 days, and then heading back, so, short trip.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be able to tune into the streams. If send me a link to those, so I can at least see some of the talks. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. It definitely would. I hope that, you know, I'll be able to pop in. There's quite a few. I'm doing a panel on Thursday. No, I'm sorry. I'm doing a panel on Friday night on social engineering and the ethics and legality of social engineering. So that should be kind of cool.
Awesome. Wow. I'm glad we finally made a connection, and signal seems to be working as far as hearing you clearly. I don't know why it was so hard to connect in the first place, but
it does seem like Skype was blocked on the plane, just like couldn't connect at all.
Uh-huh.
But then when I connected to a VPN and then relaunched Skype, I don't know if this came through when I was talking before, but I was able to connect into the Skype conversation only when going through a VPN. So obviously the traffic was mixed. Traffic was crooked. So I guess Skype was a known bandwidth hog, and they were trying to stop that.
But you were able to defeat their security system, which is what any hacker traveling on a plane should be able to do.
Now it's getting a little garbled on me there, so I'll hang back and ask what you guys are talking about and how the calls were so far.
Well, we're talking to a couple people who went to the conference, getting suggestions, ideas, and feedback, which is always good to hear. And, not much else, just a couple of weird news stories. We found that Google Alerts is completely broken and sending us stories from a couple of years ago as if they were news stories. Usual.
Did you have drink service?
Yeah, have you had your complimentary beverage yet?
Yeah, I've just had water because I'm dehydrated.
Uh-huh.
But I will say this though. I have some alcohol in my bag. I guess.
Whoa.
Because I was in the lounge before and realized, oh God, I'm going to be on this flight for like 6 hours. And, you know, why don't I just grab a couple of cans of something or another? So I grabbed a whole bunch of water, and I've got some Coney Island IPA that I'm interested in popping open shortly.
Okay.
That's proper style there.
Yeah, it sounds like this plane will be a little bit more enjoyable. But let me just ask, you said it was hot. Don't they have air conditioning on this? Or are you flying Spirit Air?
No, I'm not flying Spirit Air. There is air conditioning. It's just so hot. I think it's because the plane was baking for so long on the runway.
And I imagine everybody is unmasked, right? Because, yeah,
yeah.
Republicans.
It's not pleasant.
Well, try not to breathe too much.
Say again?
I'm advising you not to breathe as much as you might normally.
I'm messing up. Sorry.
Well, shall we try to take a phone call while we have Alex on the airplane?
Sure.
On signal as well? Okay, so 802-321-4225. We might turn him down a little bit because it's noisy there. We've talked to people on planes before. I don't think it was this rough. But then technology is kind of spiraling anyway, so can't be too surprised. 802-321-4225 or 833, I don't know the rest.
It's 833-755-2600. 833-755-2600.
Got it. Okay. Either one of those numbers will get to us. Although the second number won't get to us from overseas because you can't call those kind of numbers, but the first one will. And we'll just wait for that phone call to come in for another couple of minutes because we've got things to do too. So if they're not going to be more phone calls, then I'll be just as happy to get to work on those other projects.
So it's a nice warm ride for Alex. But fun fact, it's negative 40 outside the plane.
How do you know that?
I just know.
And wait a minute, I think we lost him. Yeah, he's not connected anymore. He hung up on us. Wow. Not telling us he hung up. Well, I don't know how he would tell us if he hung up, but I'm calling him back.
Really getting mixed signals.
You can't just hang up on me like that. I will lean on redial.
802-321 hack.
Nice. That's cool too. Yeah. What would make this perfect is if somebody called.
Can someone remix this ringtone into something? Because I think it's kind of a bop. I really do.
Yeah, but then Google will come after you and say that you're not allowed to.
Oh my God, are we going to get a copyright claim for that ringtone?
I would not be surprised at all. I would not be because it's YouTuber on.
As he was describing it, I was realizing the plane probably doesn't want 200 people like all on Skype.
Somebody pick that damn phone up! Alright, we have a phone call just as they disconnected. Good evening, you're on Off Talk Overtime. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Emmanuel?
It's going well. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. This is Lost Key. I was actually at Hope this year and had a great time. First Hope.
That's great to hear. And where did you come from?
California.
Wow. Okay, so give us your impressions. The first time at a Hope conference. Is this your first conference period?
No, I've been to DEF CON a few times. So this was my first Hope, though. I loved that it was just quiet and low key. We got to meet all the speakers and everybody was very approachable. The campus was great. We stayed in the dorms and had a blast.
Uh-huh. Those dorms were cool. We stayed there too. And it was great to wake up on campus and just be able to walk into a talk or a workshop.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. It was great. We attended as many talks as we could, I think it was a marketing ploy that the air conditioning was so cold that people were buying hoodies to stay warm in the socks.
No, that wasn't our idea, but we're just glad that people were able to get in from the heat, because we were very concerned about that. When we heard it was going to be a heat wave during that weekend, we knew they were being tested. You know, there was always a possibility of a heat wave or a hurricane or something like that happening, and St. John's really came through and took care of people, so that was a good thing.
Yeah. So overall, it was a good time. I'm looking forward to going to the next one.
Cool. That's good to hear. And when you say we're quiet, I just want to make it clear to people, we can make noise if we want to make noise, if we have concerts and things like that, but I think what you mean is it's not just drunken, loud partying everywhere. You can do that, but just not on campus. And people were doing that.
There was
the hotel had a bar, and all kinds of options. And I just think if we get bigger and have more spaces to work with, there'll be all sorts of options for different things like that. But the overall mood on campus, that's what you experienced.
Yeah, it was a good time. I would recommend it to all my friends.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much for calling, and I'm glad you made
it. Sure. Yeah, and then, there's one other thing I wanted to mention, that today's an important day in history. 34 years ago today, Dade Murphy, age 11, going by the alias Zero Cool, found guilty of crashing 1,507 computers and single-handedly causing a drop in the New York Stock Exchange today.
Wow.
That happened.
That is something. You know, between that and passing the day that George Jetson was born, it's really some pivotal moments in Hollywood history.
What a legend.
Indeed.
Wow.
Indeed.
Well,
all right.
Thanks for sharing.
Hack the planet.
All right. Take care.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
You know, I think that's a good call to end on. I really do. We're not going to top that. And we're not going to try Alex anymore because I'm sick of it. All right. Good hanging out, folks.
Absolutely.
Gila's on the other side of the room, so maybe she could run back and say goodnight.
I'm going to say goodnight.
Have a good night.
All right. See, that's what we do. And Rob, good seeing you.
And you.
And
good hearing from all of you out there.
Yes.
We will see you in 2 weeks on Off the Hook and Off the Hook Overtime. You can write to us, oth@2600.com. And you can tweet at us. Hacker Radio Show is our Twitter address.
And here's a auditory high five from all of us to you out there.
Am I supposed to join in on that?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm really tired.
Yeah,
thanks for listening.
We're very tired. Good night.